Okay, good morning. Thanks for joining. What I'd like to do today is complete the final part of the subject that we were learning the last few weeks, the story of Lot and his two daughters, the birth of Mashiach. It's interesting, the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, explains why all of this took place at this point, right at this point of the story of Avram Avinu. In other words, this that Lot and his daughters, and Moav is born, who is the great-great-grandfather of Rus, who eventually is the grandmother of David HaMelech and ultimately of Mashiach. So the Kedushas Levi says an interesting thing. He says that since Yitzchak is the next story that we're going to have in the Torah is the birth of Yitzchak. I mean, first it's going to speak about Sarah being abducted by Avimelech, which was also part of the birth of Yitzchak, as we're going to see when we get to that part. And as a preparation for that, so that's all part of the Yitzchak being born. So right, and we have already, in the beginning of the parasha, we have the Malachim coming and telling Sarah that she's going to give birth to Yitzchak. Before Yitzchak comes to the world, it is an absolute necessity to bring Mashiach to the world. Because we know that when Yitzchak was born, the Golus began, the first Golus. Because when Hashem told Avram Avinu, your children are going to be Kigeri Yezaracha, your children are going to be foreigners, we know for 400 years, the Yidden weren't in Mitzrayim for 400 years. They were only there 210 years. The count begins with Yitzchak being born. Because that's when the Golus really began. To start, go a little deeper, Yitzchak, we know, is the manifestation of Gevurah. Avram is Chesed and Yitzchak is Gevurah. And Gevurah is, of course, Golus is associated with Tzimtzum, with concealment, with contraction, which is all related to the Gevurahs. So when Yitzchak was going to be born, it meant that there was a channel of Gevurah in the world, which was the source of the ability of Chas V'Shalom, of Golus coming about. As a result of that, since we know the general rule that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always Magdim Refua Lamaka, that Hashem always prefaces the healing before he deals the blow. Before he creates Chas V'Shalom, the blow, the makkah, the wound, he always already, you know, if you go to the doctor and they have to take a blood test or they have to give a shot, so the, you know, a caring nurse prepares the Band-Aid before already, so that immediately after they do what they do, they can put the gauze or whatever it is to stop the bleeding. So the Eibishter, of course, is a caring nurse. And even when he delivers a makkah, he has to give the refuah before that. And it is for that reason that dafka at this junction, right before Yitzchak is born, it required before that to have Lot and bring Mashiach's neshama into the world. Okay, so last week we were discussing some fascinating ideas about what was happening over here and the great divine plan and, in a sense, a scheme to bring Mashiach's neshama into the world. I want to add today a fascinating piece from the Shach on Chumash, Reb Shapsi Kohen. So there's a lot of Kabbalah there. It's very, very, it's a very special book and a lot of amazing Ramazim. And he asked the general question that we've been talking about in the last few weeks: why is the birth of Mashiach coming about through so many different acts that seem to be very shady and very not kosher? He points out, he says that Mashiach's, that David HaMelech coming to the world is through a tzad mamzeres. So we had discussed already so much on the Arizal and the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh and from others and the Maral. And here is just a little bit similar, but just the way he adds to the story. One event that I didn't talk about, which is one of the links in the chain of the mysterious way, the way this holy family comes to the world. So he brings idea that it looks like there is a tzad mamzeres, mamzeres meaning illegitimate birth, illegitimate child. You begin with Lot, of course, and his two daughters. And then we have the story with Yehuda and Tamar. And then he brings Boaz that marries the daughter of Egloin, which is from Moav. Also, the way it came about, as we spoke last week, is as this woman creeps up on him in the middle of the night, as opposed to a normal marriage, As we spoke from the Alshech last week, a normal marriage that is done in a way that's kosher, in a way that's modest, in a way that's sniyistic. And to add more to that, he says, we know the story with Yishai and David HaMelech's birth. You see, David HaMelech was always the black sheep in the family. David HaMelech was considered by his brothers, by his family, literally as the hated child. They mamish disliked him. And the reason for that was because a very strange thing happened to Yishai. Yishai, who was a tzaddik, it says about Yishai that he's a tzaddik that didn't have any sin. He's one of the people who died only because of the venom of the snake. The Gemara says there are a few people, I think four people, that died with... That there are four people who died without any personal guilt, nothing of their own. They died only because of the etyer shel nachash, because of the venom or the polluted state that all of humanity is suffering from as a result of the snake having polluted Chava. So one of them is Binyamin, and one of them is Yishai. So Yishai is an absolute tzaddik. Yet it says a very strange thing, that Yishai was possessed with a desire to have relations with his maid. You hear this? He was overtaken with a powerful desire to have relations with his maid. And he arranged with her that she should go to the mikveh, so she should purify herself. The maid was uncomfortable with it. And she related this to her mistress, Yishai's wife. When she heard this, she didn't confront her husband. She went to the maid's quarters and went to the maid's bed that night. And when Yishai came to his maid, it was really his wife. But I get being that it was sneeze and dark, unbeknown to him that he was really having relations with his wife, when he thought it was his maid. And that's when David HaMelech was, that's when his wife was impregnated and David HaMelech was born. Isn't that a crazy story? Then, when Yishai sees his wife being pregnant, and she had no reason to be pregnant because he hasn't been with her, he accused her for adultery. And I guess there was no witness or whatever, But in the end, when David HaMelech was born, David HaMelech was seen to be a mamzer. His father therefore hated him, and his mother also hated him, because I guess he was the cause for the strife that she now has with her husband. So both his parents hated him. And the reason why Yishai sent him out to become a shepherd in the field, because he was hoping that his son would be murdered, killed by a lion or a bear or someone out in the field. He sent him out defenselessly. In the end, the story happened that the Eibishter chose David HaMelech. Shmuel HaNavi came and he said, one of your children, and Yishai brought all of his sons, and they were all handsome and tzaddikim, and like that, all the qualities. And he said, not this one, not this one. And finally, they brought him David HaMelech, which was unexpected. And he was the one. So this whole thing is mamish stunning. And then you have David and Bathsheba. So you have a consecutive series of these mysterious stories. The Shach says, the reason for that is because Chazal say there are three things that happen behesach hadas. Three things that come to the world not with tricking of the mind. Or hesach hadas can mean lack of what's the title of hesach hadas? No, I'm losing the word right now. What's the word for hesach hadas? Unawareness. Anyways, but Mashiach is one of them. He explains for that is for the reason that the Makatrig, the Satan, that which is stands in a position to Kedusha, should not stop. It should not get in the way. Because generally there would be such a fierce opposition from the other side to get in the way, not to allow this to happen, because Mashiach is going to vanquish all evil and destroy the bad. So they would try to do whatever they can to stop it. So you have to trick the Makatrig. And for that reason, Mashiach has to come in a way into the world that the other side wouldn't even have the slightest suspicion that through this Mashiach is coming to the world. He brings actually the Gemara, when the Torah was given, it says that the Satan came to the Eibishter and said, "Where is the Torah?" and the Eibishter told them that I've given it already to earth. So the question is, Matan Torah happened. There was such koiloi suvrakim. The whole world was standing, shaking, and what happened to the Satan? How can it be that the Satan doesn't know the way the Torah was? The Torah was given. And the answer is that the Eibishter on that day gave the Satan a drink, gave him a couple of chayims or something to divert him, his attention, so he should not be, his mind should not be there. He literally, the Satan missed Matan Torah so that he should not be able to stop this event from happening. So similar to that, in the birth of Mashiach, Mashiach has to come through this very, very, very crooked way because the Makatrik should not be Makatrik. So he brings an interesting thing. He says Tamar, who is one of the agents, she's one of the channels through which Mashiach comes. So he says, if you take the word Tamar and you do the gematria of Tamar, now Tamar itself is gematria 640, but if you have the miloi of Tamar, which means the hidden letters in Tamar, you spell out the word Tuf, which is Tuf Yud Vav, 416. Then you spell out the word Mem, which is two Mems, Mem. So it's 80. So that would make it 496. And then you spell out the word Resh, which is Resh, is Resh Yud Shin, which is 510. So what did we say? 496 plus 500. 496 plus 500 is 996, plus 10 is 1,006. So it comes, that's the gematria. The gematria is 1,006. So the Shach Alat says like this. He says it's the exact gematria of Zehu Kedei Lahasiach Das HaSatan. Interesting gematria. That Tamar's very name, called Tamar, is that this is in order to confuse, to divert, that's what I was looking for, to divert the attention of the Satan. That's her name, Tamar. Then he adds another thing. The number 1,006, which is the gematria of Tamar, Bimiluyai, which is out, is the gematria, is 106, 1,006, if you, it's not gematria, but 1,000 in Hebrew is what? Is Elef, is 1,000. 6 is a Vav. So Elef Vav. Gematria, he says, Pele Vav. Now he says, what's the idea of Pele? Pele also means the word Aleph. Aleph, Pele, same word, means when something is hidden. Like it says, Ki Yapale Memcha, when the thing is going to be mysterious to you. The Inyan is Pele, to hide the Vav. Mashiach is associated with the letter Vav. That's why I mentioned so many times that this year, Tavshin Ayin Vav, is such a Mashiach day, such a year mesugled for the Geula. It's the Vavim. The Alter Rebbe also says in his famous mimer about the coming of Mashiach, that Mashiach's coming is related to Asa Vavim La'amudim, the Vavim, the Hamshacha of the Vavim, that's Mashiach. So Pele Vav is the secret, is the hidden, that Hashem is trying to hide the Vav from being Behiz Galos, to slip the Vav into the world in a manner that the other side cannot get into the way. And that's why he adds an interesting thing. It says that by Loit, it says V'loy Yoda, that Loit did not know B'shachva uvekuma. He did not know when his daughters lie down with him and when they stood up. He didn't have any awareness. So he says, what does that mean? He says, Loit is the Satan. Because Loit in Aramaic means curse. So Loit is the other side. So the whole story was that V'loy Yoda Loit, that Loit the Satan should not know B'shichva v'kuma, in the lying down and the getting up, which he says is a remez. B'shachva, by lying down, is a remez to Shloima HaMelech. Because Shloima HaMelech, about him, it says, Kara Ravat Shachav, that when Yaakov benches his children in Parshas Vayechi, he says I think it's there, or maybe it's by Moshe Rabbeinu's brachas maybe it's by Bilam. It says over there that Kara Shachav, it's talking about, by Bilam. Bilam's brachas speaks about the kingdom, and he says Shachav, that they're lying down like a lion. It's referring to the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech, when there was peace in his time, and he can lay in tranquility. Uvekuma, when he will get up, is referring to Mashiach, who is going to get up. Who's going to get up? Mekimi Mayofer Do is going to get up from the earth. Is the Kuma, the getting up of Mashiach ben David, All of this was v'lo yada, that the Satan should not know that, which is light, who is the Satan, should not know that what's coming to the world now is Shlomo HaMelech and ultimately Moshiach. The Shechiva and the Kima of Malchus Beis David. That should go undetected. And that's the idea of Behesach Hadas. I mentioned earlier that Moshiach is Merumiz in the letter Vav, Pele Vav. So he brings over here an interesting idea, could be the reason, one of the reasons why. Because we spoke about this all the way at the beginning of these classes, that when the Eibishter created the world, the word Toldos, when Hashem made the world, it says, Eile Toldos Shamayim Va'aretz, these are the offspring of the heaven and the earth. And it mentions the word Toldos with two Vavim. Toldos. Chazal say Toldos Mole. That when Hashem created the world was in its utmost perfection. Was Mole, it was full. Then, as a result of the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, the world lost its shlemus, its perfection. What went away, and therefore that all the other times when it says the word toldos in the Torah, all the other chronicles of creation, all the other events, all the other happenings, as things are materializing and happening in the world, it's all mentioned without a vav. Toldos, chaser, it's lacking a vav. Why? Because the world is now in a state of lacking. And the Gemara and the Medrash says, in Parashas Medrash Rab, in Bereishis, that what's lacking in the world are six things are lacking. The taste of food, the height of the human being, the Adam was all the way to the heaven, certain brachas, it says over there, the light of the sun was much weaker, there was a much greater light in the world. And it lists a whole bunch of things. Arichos Yamim, the life of the human being that was to live forever. Six things that it mentions that the Eibishter took away from the world that was there. When is it going to come back? So there's one other time in the Torah when it says Toldos with a double Vav. And that is when Peretz is born. The son of Yehuda, Peretz, was born through Yehuda and Tamar. It says Eile Toldos Peretz, and Toldos is mentioned with a Vav. Because when Mashiach is going to come, he's going to restore the world to its shlemus, and as the Rebbe explains in many places, not only come back to its shlemus, but it's going to be an oifen of peretz, or lufaratzta, even bigger than what it was before. In other words, the six things that were eliminated and taken away at the beginning of the creation are all going to be restored. Since Mashiach is going to bring those in Yanim back, to bring back the six that is missing, and that's why he brings an interesting thing. The word Bereshis, which is the first word of the Torah, the Zohar says means Barashis. He created six. So he says it's a remes to the creating of Mashiach. Mashiach is going to bring back the six. And we also know what it says in the Zohar, and I mentioned this other times, that Mashiach's coming is in the Elef Hashishi, in the sixth millennium. This is it. And the Zohar says that's the time of his domain in the sixth millennium. So Mashiach from all sides is related to the number six in a very big way. So, and again, this year is the year of six. So, that's why it's the inyan of Pelevav, which is Gematria Tamar. Okay. Now, the Tzemach Tzedek says something really, really, really fascinating. The pasuk concludes and it says, "Vataharen or shtei b'neis loit me aviem." The two daughters of Loit became pregnant from their father. He says, there is a very, very fascinating idea and a secret of why Mashiach's neshama had to be dafka born from a daughter having relations with her father, related to a very deep Kabbalistic idea. And that is that we know that through Torah mitzvahs and through everything that we're doing in the world, we cause various different yechudim, various different unifications in the supernal spheres between the divine attributes. What do yechudim mean? See, every time energy and life flow has to be passed on from level to level, that's called the yichud, because two sphero, two attributes, or two worlds are bonding, and one is transmitting to the other. Just like in a physical union between a man and a woman, there is a transmission that's being given over, the man is being mashpia, and that creates a birth, that creates a leida, that creates it. So whenever there is hashpa, whenever there is influence being passed on from a higher level to the lower level, it's called yichudim. Kabbalah is full with the idea of what you should have in mind when you say this pasuk and that pasuk, which zivug, which yuchid, which shemais, which zivugim, which unifications are taking place in the supernal worlds, and Shabbos, what's happening, Yom Tov, what's happening, and the like. Generally, we know that there are two general yichudim that take place. And they are, now of course, in these general yichudim, it's multifaceted with billions of different nuances, and these are all the specific unifications that happen in all the particular settings that have to do with the date of the week, the time, the mitzvah you're doing, whatever is happening, who is doing it. So these are all the variations of the various different colorful yichudim that are taking place. But in general, it's broken down into two types of yichudim. One is the yichud of Abba and Ima, father and mother, called Chachma and Bina, where Chachma is receiving from the Ein Sof. Chachma is the first Keli, receiving the light, unadulterated light of God as it is. And it passes it on to Bina. Bina is already the source of creation to some degree, because Bina is already understanding. Bina already has real containers, it has real vessels to process, to absorb, which means, okay, so that's a yichud of Chachma and Bina, yichud and Abba and Ima. Then there's another yichud, and that is the yichud in Zah and Malchus, which is called Ben Ubas, son and daughter. In other words, in Atzilus, in the world of Sephardic realm, there are two couples. There is father and mother, the two intellectual attributes, and then there are the emotional attributes called father and called son and daughter, Zah and Malchus. Now, generally, we say that when we, the Tzemach Tzedek brings in, he says, when we do Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, in the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, there are these two Yechudim. He brings, hold on, give me a second. That by Kriya Shema, there is the Yichud. Every time, every day, when we say Shema every day, we cause a Yichud of father and mother, which is a higher union, but a more abstract union, where the energy, the life flow is still in a very, very high level. And then, in order to bring it closer into the world, there is another Yichud. And that is the Yichud that happens by Shemoyne Esrei. And that yichud is a yichud between son and daughter, which is the yichud of Ze'er Ampin, the emotions of God, transmitting their energy into Malchus, and through Malchus into the world. That's the general realm of yichud. So Malchus, which is the source of creation, the Shekhinah, she's the mother of creation, from where creation is born, isn't receiving from Chachma and Bina. She's receiving from her husband, which is Ze'er Ampin, which are the six emotions, chesed, gevura, and the like. Chachma is too powerful for Malchus to receive from Chachma. However, he brings that there is a time when there is elevated moments in the world. For instance, on Rosh Chodesh it says, Malchus has an aliyah, the moon. The moon is Malchus. So we know that the moon receives new light on Malchus. So it says on Rosh Chodesh there's a very big aliyah on Malchus. That's why Rosh Chodesh Bechlal is a yomtiv for women. Because women are rooted in Malchus. And on Rosh Chodesh is a new light to Malchus. Malchus, since an era of Rosh Chodesh, Malchus has a very, very, very powerful and deep bittul and nullification of herself. And as we were learning in the Maimer of Basi Lagani this year, that the secret to unlimited power and unlimited energy is dafka when you make yourself into an empty vessel and through bittul. So since an era of Rosh Chodesh, Malchus, Knesset Yisrael, the Shechina, and all that has a tremendous bittul and nullification. She becomes a keli for new light, and instead of receiving her daily dose of inspiration of light from her husband, she receives directly from Chachma. Malchus is receiving from Chachma. However, he says an interesting idea that yichud that Malchus is receiving from Chachma, and which is called her father, because Chachma is the father. Chachma and Bina, father and mother. That means she, the girl, is having a union with her father. But that's not called an intimate union. Because even though she's receiving from her father, it's not called an intimate union. The reason why it's not called an intimate union is because, he says, that even though Chachma is being mashpia to Malchus, even though on the one hand, Malchus is receiving a much higher energy from a much higher place, a far greater illumination. However, there is something about it, and it's chitzainius, it's external. It's from Chachma, but it's the external illumination of Chachma. I'll explain it in a minute. As opposed to when she's receiving influence from the Ze'er Anpin, from her husband, from the Midas, which are much lower, it's a much lower level. However, it's a far more essential hashpa. And let me explain the difference between the two. The difference is, it says many places like this. What's the difference between, there's two types of unions we see in our life. There's a teacher and a student. And a teacher teaches knowledge to a student. So the teacher has information, has knowledge. And he's conveying, he or she can convey that knowledge to the student. Okay? It's hashpa sasecho. It's an hashpa of mind, of ideas. That hashpa is phenomenal. It's abstract concepts. It can be very, very great ideas. However, as great and as powerful these ideas are, the student will only grow if the student has already a mind. You can't create an intelligence if someone doesn't have a brain. You can't create new intelligence. You can increase the intelligence that's there already. You can add, you can enlighten someone with more enlightenment. But the person has to have a mind to begin with. You can't create a mind. Then there's another union, a union between a man and a woman, in which we know, and we learned it in Kabbalah, that the transmission that the man is given to, the seed that the father is given to the mother, originates in the father's brain. In other words, the father, the excitement, is originating a stimulation that's taking place in the brain. And from the brain, the ashpa is coming. Now we know that this is a very physical transmission. A man is not enlightening his wife with deep mysteries of the cosmos. He's giving something very physical. He's loving her. He's transmitting a physical transmission. So can we compare? Here you have a Rebbe who's teaching Kabbalah, mysticism, the deepest ideas to his students. It's deep, abstract illumination of intelligence, incredible intelligence. And here someone is giving over what? Physical substance. Yet, so you can't compare. And both are coming from the brain. You hear? Both are coming from the brain. But what's the difference? When a father is transmitting to his wife and thereby creating a child, even though he's giving something physical, what he is really giving is he's digging into his essential, in that physical ashpa, is embedded not only information of his mind, but his very, very mind itself. He's taking from the essential powers of his soul, including the very brain himself, the mind itself, and giving it. When a teacher teaches his student, he's not giving him his mind, he's giving him information from his mind, but not his mind. When you're creating a child, you can literally say this, the saying, I am going to give you a piece of my mind. Because your mom is giving a piece of your mind, you're giving essence. And it says in Chassidus that dafka, because you're going so deep in your soul, and you're actually pulling from your very essence, of your very being, of your very self, of who you really are, precisely because of that, you couldn't transmit it in a refined abstract state, because we don't have vessels for that. It has to become extremely physical for it to be transmittable. So what you see over here is that each one, a student receiving from his teacher, or a wife receiving from a husband, each one has a quality over the other. The quality of the students receiving from the teacher is that they are receiving something that is very bright, great illumination, great ideas. The student is going crazy saying, wow, unbelievable. You can see the moichin. You can see the intelligence. When the wife is receiving from her husband, you don't see that. All that there is physical substance, physical liquid. It's all that there is. There's nothing else there. But on the other hand, in that is the potency of the essence. The essence is embedded. And over here is only chitzonius. It's only a ray. And that's the difference of the way when Malchus receives from her husband, she's receiving something much deeper, but it's lower. On Rosh Chodesh, Malchus is given a treat. She gets to receive from Chachma, from Abba, from Chachma. But because Chachma is so high, she can't receive from her father, from Chachma, the essence. So therefore, she can only receive an illumination, but she can't receive the essence. So therefore, it's not considered a yichud. It's not considered a material union. It's considered a hashpa. It's not a union. However, that is only today's days. It's only today's days until Mashiach comes. Tzemach Tzedek says that what? That once Mashiach comes as a result of the expansiveness that Malchus has got, as a result of all the Torah and mitzvahs that we've done in the world, Malchus has now become a Keli to rise and to become a vessel to be able to receive directly from Chachma, and not just I hashpah chitzainis, an external hashpah from Chachma, but an internal hashpah that is called an intimate hashpah. It's called a physical union, so to speak, if you were to say, with Chachma. Of course, obviously, we're talking in realms that there's no physicality, but that idea, to be able to receive a zivug with Chachma, which now she couldn't do, because that's what it says when Mashiach will come, the moon is going to be on the same level like the sun. The moon is going to be like the sun, which means that Malchus is not going to receive anymore from Ze'er Anpin, because there's no need for her to receive from the Ze'er Anpin, because she's going to be higher than at least equal or even higher than her power that's mashpia to her now. So what's going to happen is that Malchus is going up to receive directly from Chachma, which means the pure, unadulterated, infinite light that resides in Chachma without any compromises, without any dimming of it. It's pure light, is going to be able to be transmitted into the world without having to go. In other words, Malchus is going to be in the place of Bina. You hear this? Now, Bina receives from Chachma, but Malchus can't receive from Chachma. When Mashiach will come, Malchus, the Shechina, the worlds are going to be able to receive in the same level as Bina directly from Chachma. Now, what is that? That is a union. That is called Gilui Arayos. That's a horrible, that seems to be something very, very negative. Because we know that when a daughter has relations with her father, that is absolutely forbidden. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains that because this is something so sublime, so holy, when this happens, that Malchus receives from Chachma, it's such powerful transmission, it's such an energy flow into the world. So therefore, something like this cannot be replicated in this world. Because when we get married, and we have our unions, get married, and chas and kala, marriage, husband and wife, we're actually tapping into the unions that are above and actually actualizing that here. But there are certain things that are so potent and so powerful that they're not given to expression. They can't be translated into expression in this physical world. When you try to imitate them in this physical reality, it comes out to be not a positive thing, it comes out to be a terrible destruction. So what is in the spiritual world is the highest, most powerful, deepest things, to try to translate it into this world, it becomes negative. He gives an example. A lion, in its spiritual source, the lion is a much more holier beast than the ox. Because in the Merkava, there are two beasts. The lion is on the right side and the ox is on the left side. And we know that the right is more powerful than the left. So the lion is greater holiness than the ox. If so, the question is, how come we in this world, a lion is a wild beast that is a destructive being and it's not a kosher animal, and an ox is a kosher? And the answer is, the holiness of the ox is transmittable into this world. You can convey it. When you try, however, to try to transmit the ox, the lion, into this world, because it's so potent and so powerful, it gets messed up, so to speak, in the translation. It can't be translated. It can't be transmitted. It shatters and it breaks because the world can't facilitate, and it becomes a non-kosher beast. So that's the idea of all arayos that are not kosher, even though in their source of sources it has a very holy, holy, holy beginning. As we're saying, when Mashiach will come, this idea that Malchus is going to receive directly from Chachma is hinted to in this that it says this week in the parsha. No, it's not this week in the parsha, but it's associated to this week in the parsha. This week we have the Shira Sayam. We say Hashem Yimloich Li'olam Va'ad, Hashem will reign forever, and we add to it the pasuk Va'haya Hashem LaMelech Al Kol Aretz. It's not in the Chumash, but we add to it in the Shira Va'haya Hashem LaMelech Bayoyim Ahu, on that day Yiyah Hashem Echad. So in Kabbalah it says, what does it mean Bayoyim Ahu, on that day Yiyah it will be? Now today's days, the way the flow, the energy flow, flows into creation is that first there is a yud, which is chachma. Chachma gives to hey, which is bina. Then it's transmitted to the vav. What happens to the vav? The vav is a long line. What does it do? The vav is really a yud. It's an extended yud, which means that the yud from chachma needs to be transmitted into the Ze'er Anpin, into the six emotions, what they do is they draw the Hashpa down that it should be kind of compatible and with our world, that the world should not be overwhelmed by it. In other words, by a Yud translating into a Vav, what the Vav is doing to it is it's weakening the Yud. When it's in a Yud, it's far more powerful. When it's transmitted into the Vav, it becomes diluted to a very great degree. And only then, from the Vav, does it go down into Malchus, into the Shechinah. However, when Mashiach comes, since the Malchus is then going to rise to be on the level of Bina, like her mother, she's going to be like her mother in her mother's place, so then her Hashpa is not going to come from a Vav. The Hashpa is going to come into Malchus directly from the Yud. And that's the idea. Instead of Hashem's name being Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, it's going to be Yud-Kei, Yud-Kei, double Yud-Kei. Because the Hashpa is going to come directly from the Yud with all of its potency. Or as the way that he explains it in the Maimer, it means that the Ze'er Anpin is going to be elevated into Chachma. It's going to be on the level of Abba, on the same level of Chachma. And therefore, it's going to transmit into Malchus as it is. Now, that kind of a union, we're saying, of a daughter and a father. It's interesting. The punishment for that is, in this world, if someone tries to do that, chas v'shalom, that's an incestuous relationship, and that carries the punishment of sreifa. Sreifa means being burnt. Of course, it doesn't mean being burnt at the stake, but whatever, the way they gave the person to drink a very, very boiling hot lead, and that's what caused the person to die, right? So sreifa. The Tzemach Tzedek explains why sreifa. Why is that the punishment? Because when a daughter is having relations with her father, what's really happening is she's taking the place of her mother. She's insulting her mother. Instead of the relationship the father is supposed to be relationship having with his wife, with the mother, she's, in other words, Malchus is imitating or is trying to step into the shoes of her mother, which is Bina. Now, Bina is the source of fire. Now, the mother gets insulted, so to speak. Bina gets insulted, and she burns her daughter. In other words, she burns her with her fire. Bina is the side of Gvuris, the side of Esh, of fire. That's why that's the punishment. Today's days, or in a not, when that's trying to be imitated. But since Moshiach's, the whole Inyan of Moshiach, is that in the days of Moshiach, the whole Yichud, the whole system of the Yichudim is going to change, and Malchus is going to be receiving from its very quintessential source. Malchus is going to be receiving from Chachma. That's why, in order to bring David HaMelech's neshama and consequently Mashiach into the world, how did it have to happen? Through a relationship of a father and a daughter. Now, he says, in other words, we had to schlep the neshama out from the klipa, from the unholy, but it had to be through this channel in a manner that kind of imitates or is consistent, rather imitate, but consistent with the yichud that's going to be when Mashiach comes. So it like played itself out with Lloyd and his daughters, not in a manner of that was not kosher, because we said last week it was a show. In Lloyd's case, it was a shoygeg, meaning he didn't know. And to them, their kavana was l'shem shemayim. But that's particularly the reason why it had to happen through this type of a yichud, which is a fascinating idea. That's the idea how the Tzemach Tzedek explains the story of Lloyd. I just want to conclude. Right after this story with Lloyd and his daughters, the Pasuk says, Vayisa Misham Avram Artza HaNegev, that Avram left after the story with Sodom, and Avram left, and he moved to the south. So it says, Rashi asked the question, why did Avram suddenly leave and move away? Rashi gives two interpretations. One reason is because since Sodom was turned over and destroyed, there were no more travelers. The road became a very desolate road. And Avram always wanted to have guests, didn't have any guests anymore. By the way, that shows you an amazing thing. If what populated the road next to Avram's house was the people who traveled to Sodom, so you can imagine at what kind of level these guests that Avram was hosting. Think about it. Like Rashi says, oh, there were no more people traveling. Yeah, that means no one was going to Sodom anymore. So we're talking about, basically, Avram's inn was on the way to Vegas. That's where his inn was. And who came into his place? Either they were on the way going or on the way coming back. And that just shows you the infinite kindness of Avraham Avinu. In any case, that was one reason why he moved. He wanted to move to a more populated area where he can help out more people. On number two, the second reason Rashi said is because a bad name came, in other words, Lot got a very bad name, that he had relations with his daughters. So Avram, and therefore it looked bad on Avram as well. So he distanced himself from him. That's what Rashi says. So you see that Avram's moving had to do with Lot having. So I saw a very interesting beer over here. Shaul Chuvizayas Ranan. I don't know who that is. I'll check in the back here a moment. Who the Zayas Ranan is. He doesn't say. You know who the Zayas Ranan is? Cancel Shred. No, he'll tell me later. And oh, maybe it's on the Shaul Chuvis. Give me a second. Oh, Ramosha Yehuda Leib. He's the Rav of Kutna. Okay. Any case, he brings a Geshmak of art over here. He brings it from his Mechutin, Rabbi Yaakov Zev. I don't know who that would be. He says that the reason why Avram at Jafke at this junction decided that it's time to move, he says, because the reason why Avram was always standing by his Lot until now was because Avram knew that Lot is carrying the neshama of Mashiach within him. So that's why Avram was always at his defense. He came and he fought the battles. He was Moser Nefesh for him. He fought against the four kings to save Lot. He stood by him now. He davened for the tzaddikim. And remember we said when he says, maybe there is a tzaddik and a rasha there. Are you going to kill the tzaddik and the rasha? He meant to say, are you going to just kill the person who's both a tzaddik and a rasha? In other words, Avram was, all that he was doing for Lot was because he was trying to save this great dynasty that was going to come from them. However, once the extraction happened, once Lot gave birth to impregnated his daughters, so already the